Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for all being here and being patient with me. Well, when I thinking back to our gospel reading we had before the children's sermon, I like the fact that Jesus points out that kind of no matter what you do, especially in ministry, someone's going to be upset. You know, you just aren't going to please everybody because this is the life of the church. No matter what you do, someone's going to complain and not like it. Because, you know, John came along and he was preaching, you know, the fire and the brimstone and was staying very pure by abstaining from alcohol. And he was wearing camel hair clothes and living out in the desert, living that ascetic kind of lifestyle. And, you know, rejected a lot of the creature comforts of life. And they said, that guy's got a demon. He is just some weird dude living out in the desert. He's demonic. So Jesus comes along, and his style of ministry was to, you know, go drink with the drunks, eat with the sinners, be with all the people that, you know, were considered, yeah, kind of shady. And they called him a drunkard and a glutton. You can't win. No matter what you do, you can't win. You can never fit everyone's expectations of what they're looking for or what they think someone who is a prophet of God should be like. So we just kind of assume and know we're going to make people mad, kind of end of that story. That's just how it works when you speak the word of God into a world that does not like to hear what God has to say a lot of the time, because it doesn't always align with what we want or possibly how we're living our particular lives at the moment. I mean, Jesus, he spent a lot of time warning those who followed him. They were going to have to take up their crosses. They were going to have problems and disruption in their families, in their lives, in order to be found worthy of his, to be one of his followers, that they would face being ridiculed, that they will face, of course, not pleasing people, that it will be hard because it calls you sometimes to give up some of the things you have, your wealth or your status, sometimes your livelihood, in order to follow Jesus. Sometimes divisions within the family, the rifts between daughters and mothers, fathers and sons, sisters and brothers, mothers-in-law, daughters-in-law. Well, that already existed, so never mind about that. But to top it all off, you will likely be persecuted, thrown into prison, maybe even killed, because when you speak the truth to the powerful and the privileged who take offense, they will come after you just to shut you up because they feel threatened. Or a lot of times in a church setting, they'll just walk out because they don't want to hear about certain issues. Things that perhaps were important to Jesus, but we don't really want to hear about them anymore. So when you think about the fact that every time he talked about the Samaritans, he was addressing issues of racism. Every time he talked about divorce, or he talked about Mary and Martha and Mary wanting to sit at the feet of Jesus, just like the male disciples, and told her she was doing the right thing. She could be there just like the men, addressing sexism. Those things being brought up kind of makes us uncomfortable, challenges our status quo, things we don't want to talk about. So he's warning this is not going to be an easy life if you are one who comes in and preaches the word of God. And then he turns around And he offers this invitation into this life that he's been talking about for some time in the Gospels, you know, it's been leading up to this, saying, "Now come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What? Jesus, you just got done telling us how difficult all of this is going to be, and then you say, "Oh, but my burden is easy, my yoke is light." Doesn't sound light and easy to me. Call being persecuted, having division in your family, ticking off parishioners so they make your life miserable, an easy yoke and a light burden? Indeed. Sounds like an oxymoron, a contradiction in terms of what Jesus has been talking about up until this point. And you know, it would be. We were doing it alone. Going back to that image with the children's sermon of the image of the yoked oxen, the whole point there is that, yeah, that is a heavy load. That is something really heavy that gets put on us as followers. And yet, if we try to pull it on our own, we are going to wear out. We'll eventually collapse. It's just too much. So Jesus is talking about the fact that the disciples of Jesus will never be alone. They will never have to pull that burden by themselves. They will always have the presence of Christ with them, helping them, sustaining them, so that we don't pull those burdens alone. It's also part of what being the body of Christ is about. Not being alone. Being in community. Sharing those burdens, sharing that workload. There's a reason when Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, so that they would not be alone. And when Jesus leaves and ascends into heaven, he promises he will not leave the disciples alone. He says, "I will be with you even until the end of the age. Wherever two or more are gathered in my name, I will be there with you." And I know, especially here at Living Faith, you're having to move to a new site in August. It's not an easy thing to do. No one likes upheaval. No one likes change, especially one that, you know, really wasn't one you really chose. And I'm sure there are feelings of disappointment, perhaps. Some feel a little discouraged. But, you know, I see it as representative of what goes on in the church. Things, they change. A lot of change is happening, and that change is hard. I hear constantly how the church as a whole, oh, well, it's becoming irrelevant. Numbers are decreasing. It's becoming obsolete. And the typical response is, oh, only if the pastors or the young people worked harder, we could save it. Except we have a Savior who has said he will be with us even to the end of the age. So we wear ourselves out a lot of times trying to keep that status quo, putting more energy, more resources into trying to revive things that have kind of changed and just aren't that way anymore. Wise seminary professor and friend of mine pointed out, if we're truly resurrection people, death is never the end. It might be necessary to ask some hard questions about the source of fatigue. To what extent is it the result of misplaced or misguided perpetuations of the church? But much of what the church chooses to pay attention to sometimes, to talk about, to put efforts toward, winds up being neither meaningful or life-giving because we're afraid of the change. Symptoms of passions run dry, waning joy, focusing on things that have more to do with, ooh, meeting those expectations that we found out from Jesus and John, you're never going to meet anyway. Rather than working in concert with the always changing, always unexpected movements of the Holy Spirit that move us, shape us, and change us in ways we usually don't foresee and don't imagine. Part of being yoked to Christ means moving in the same direction as Jesus. Moving in the same direction that the Spirit is leading rather than trying to pull in the opposite direction. Especially if you're yoked to Him and you're trying to pull against that. It doesn't work. You're going to go nowhere. Pulling harder won't fix it. Changing direction, on the other hand, so that we're pulling the same direction as God, will ease that burden considerably. So while there are different difficult parts to being a disciple, that the road is not always going to be exactly what you want, is going to be exactly what you expect, it's going to have difficult parts, knowing that sometimes being yoked to Christ means going where Christ goes. And sometimes where Christ goes, it's not where we tend to want to go. This means going in a direction that is different than what we had planned, maybe different than what society thinks that we should be doing. Being yoked to Christ means there will be change. And usually lots of it, because when God decides to get active, He doesn't leave things as they are. Things change. Things get messy. Being yoked to Christ also means that He is right there with you, promising to be with you through change, through upheaval, through ups, through downs, through joys, through sorrows. Promises to be with you until the end of the age. Let us pray. Gracious and heavenly Lord, we know that meeting expectations can be nearly impossible or hard, but we are thankful that we are yoked to You. You make the burden light. We move in the same direction as You. We know that You are with us. We know that You are walking alongside us, and You are pulling along with us. And when that happens, we know we cannot fail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.